With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Hey, everybody. Ryan Leaf here. We are about to drop 3 bonus episodes for my podcast, Bust, the Ryan Leaf Story, the most honest, transparent, and vulnerable podcast you will hear. Me in front of a microphone taking you through the start to the finish right here on Podcast One.
Well, in this episode, we'll talk to David Fortin. He heads up the Los Angeles Auto Show, and we'll talk about electric vehicles and what's out there and all the cornucopia of choices as well.
Yeah, we'll get into Porsche Lexus, Porsche Lucid and quite a bit more.
But first, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a shipping on mandate. Get it on and welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello. How are you?
Go, frazzled. Phil got out. Had to search around the neighborhood, so it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show. David Fortin is going to join us. He's VP of Marketing for the Los Angeles Auto Show. We'll talk to him in a second. Just a quick bit of Twitter breaking news. I had a crazy morning, but I saw somebody tweeted me that Goodwood's coming to the beach, it said. And I was like, where are they going? Are they going down to Dunkirk or something? And it said, no, Miami.
Interesting.
Yeah, Chris could probably find that article somewhere.
I mean, coming off a big F1 Miami event, you know.
So this was reported yesterday. Pending a city contract, the Goodwood Festival of Speed is coming to Miami Beach, promising to bring luminaries of the world of racing, car collectors, and exhibitors with a focus on the future of transportation and the end of fossil fuels usage.
I'm laughing because it's a, you know, pending city council approval or whatever.
Yeah.
If you'd said that's coming to Santa Monica, I would have went, yeah, good luck.
Good luck.
We'll see you in 15 to 20 years.
Venice.
Once the Coastal Commission weighs in. On this, but yeah. Talking about Florida, get her done.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down with that.
Well, it'll be the third weekend of March 2024.
It is what we've talked about, which is, you know, we go somewhere and, you know, it's sort of like when you go to Sprinkles cupcake place in there or some donut shop that you love or some taco place and you go, man, there should be more of these. This is great. So, like, when you go to Goodwood, you look around, and you go, wow, man, this should be going on everywhere.
Yeah.
And you make, you know, and then Mike August goes, they need to bring Goodwood to the United States, you know, because he's, you know, thinking of it from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 10 minutes later, they're coming to the United States.
Yeah. The reason why you can't open another donut shop by the beach is because of the permits.
Right. But it is so good. So, you know, for guys like us, it's just more the same. I mean, more to choose from, more events.
But also it kind of emphasizes what we've been kind of saying on the show for so many years now, that this sport, especially the vintage racing component, is growing. It's not going the opposite direction. It just seems like year after year, the attendance at these events is getting bigger and better, and the guys are figuring out how to make these events cooler and more successful. And, you know, like we said a couple weeks ago, SEMA Fest, you know, SEMA's turning from the SEMA show into a week-long thing in Vegas.
Right.
You know, it's going to take a couple years to work out all the bugs, but that's, again, growing this hobby.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was pitching to, I don't know, what network, Speed or whatever, Vision or whoever, you know, vintage racing shows like 5 years ago, I just kept saying these things are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and worldwide and more attendees and more participants and blah, blah, blah. Like, I saw which way the wind was blowing. Of course, they didn't. So that was that. But with this almost explosion of vintage events and, you know, the list goes on and on now, and it's become a bit of a worldwide phenomenon, there is still no vintage racing TV series out there, which drives me insane. Yeah. It drives me insane.
There isn't. And if you think of all the years that we've been talking about it, the vintage cars are becoming newer because it keeps going, going back to like whatever, 25 years.
You turn on iTunes and it's like Rust Town Builders. We have a crazy bearded man who lives in Alaska. He pulled a truck from a swamp. Now he's going to rebuild it. It's like, okay. All right. David's up on, he's on Zoom. David Fortin, VP Marketing, Los Angeles Auto Show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Los Angeles Auto Show, and you can get tickets now and learn more at laautoshow.com, one of the premier events around town. I'm guessing in this country it goes Detroit, then L.A., or L.A., then Detroit. I don't know what the pecking order is.
Yeah.
Detroit and L.A. have moved dates, right? They used to take place on the same weekend, right?
Yeah, well, there are big four, you know, Chicago, New York, Detroit, and Los Angeles. And I think everybody serves a different niche to the industry. We've traditionally been around Thanksgiving week. It has moved, you know, years past. I think Detroit kicked off the year previous years. But we're excited. Yeah, it's go time. Thanksgiving is a great time when the family gets together. LA Auto Show rolls into town. We're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm glad, because in years past, I would show up and I'd go, hey, where's that new Audi RS6? I want to check that out. And they go, oh, it's in Detroit. Because they're having the Detroit one at the same time. And I'm like,
right.
LA's not a big enough market for you, Audi, to bring a couple flagships over here. And it's like, well, it's Detroit's going on. Like,
right.
How many Audi RS6s are you selling in Detroit? I'm curious versus Los Angeles. Yeah. And then why have them on the same weekend if Detroit's going to cherry pick all the cool shit? And so thankfully, we've turned the page on that very ugly chapter.
David, what are the dates for the event?
Yeah, so tomorrow we kick it off with a special press and industry day, and then we open up to everyone on Friday the 18th and run for 10 days straight through Sunday, November 27th.
So it's a good long show. Now, how have you guys been able to grow the show? There's definitely a lot more going on than just the cars on display, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we have in our favor, being based in California versus some of the other shows. You know, our weather, you know, is pretty good year round. We're on the Pacific Rim, so we have proximity to China and Vietnam and some of the manufacturers out there. California is leading the nation when it comes to green and the number of EVs being sold here. And then the thing that really seals the deal is the car culture in Southern California. There's nothing like it. And so we take the new models and all of our automaker partners in the main halls. But then around that, throughout a million square feet of the convention center, we've got all kinds of activations with exotics and supercars and classics and 4x4s that really kind of separates us in how we approach what an auto show really means.
So this is kind of an important, because we were just talking about the Goodwood and Monterey and the vintage cars. The LA Auto Show and Detroit, all the auto shows were always typically all about the new cars that are coming out or available now. But it's just as entertaining to pepper in things like, you know, an overlanding expo and some vintage cars and lowriders and drifting, and bring a little bit of that old and new and entertainment aspect to the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our experience is probably a 5-hour, you know, family or individual individual journey. So there's a lot to see and do, and you got to break it up with some stuff that like excites the mind in different ways as you're going from hall to hall and potentially comparison shopping SUVs or sedans or whatever you're looking for that day. We have a lot of the things you mentioned. We've got a Formula Drift demo on the second weekend. We got a really cool Cars and Coffee on the first weekend, partnership with Bridgestone. So to your point, that's what we challenge ourselves with every year, is to work with as many automakers who want to get in front of the largest car market in the U.S. And then we create some excitement and sizzle around that.
Are there any big unveilings slated for this LA Auto Show?
Yeah, we're pretty excited. You know, last year coming out of the pandemic, it was certainly a slower time for those in general across the globe. But Subaru is making a big global reveal to kick off the day. Fiat, Genesis, Kia, VinFast are making North American debuts. We've got a series of press conferences with some charging partners like Blink, who are making a press conference announcement. So there's a full day of news, which is really good. And I think the next few years, the mandates in California, especially 2035, but even before that, there are some milestone mandates. We're going to see more EVs debut in the next few years, I think, than anybody really knows.
I think I'm particularly interested in checking out the Porsche 911 Dakar. They're doing doing, you know, an off-road version of the new 911. And it's interesting because all the photos that they've kind of teased of this vehicle so far, and it's just kind of flat black 911 on big tires. And without the livery, it kind of looks goofy. Like once you throw a
martini,
yeah, just or Rothmans, you throw something on it that's going to make all the difference in the world. But I understand that's going to be a pretty big announcement from Porsche.
Yeah, Porsche's bringing in a bunch of journalists from around the world for a little sneak peek today. I'm pretty giddy to get over there and take my peek and see what it's all about. You know, they always take Petrie Hall and transform it into something, you know, that's incredible every year.
Is it going to be sort of on par with Porsche bringing back the 935 about 4 years ago? We were talking about it as a very limited batch with a lot of nods to the past, kind of retro nods.
I don't know much about like the production numbers or how you're going to be able to get one, but I would imagine it's going to be something in the same vein as that.
It is very interesting. Matt and I talk about all the time that in the vintage car world, the category that's just going through the roof are those rally cars from the 80s, early 90s, Lancia, Subaru, Audi, especially
Escort.
Yeah, I mean, you see those things trading on Bring a Trailer and at other auctions for hundreds of thousands of dollars, these sort of mid 80s, oftentimes Japanese cars that, you know, and I'm not exactly sure what the utility is. Like, I know at Goodwood, they have the off-road, you know, kind of rally course up at the top of the hill climb. You can see guys going around there. But it would make sense that Porsche definitely give a nod to their Dakar, Paris to Dakar, and off-road heritage.
Yeah, the 911 Safari, which I guess is the more well-known name for it or the term for it, but they're calling it Dakar. But it should be... Yeah, it should be kind of interesting to see. And guys
are building a lot of tribute cars to those 911s as well, and they're fetching good money.
We're going to have to see more like vintage racing events for those rally cars pop up at some point, right?
Yeah, if they're going to be very expensive and sought after and collected, at some point, someone's going to have to do something with them versus just sort of look at them in the garage. And they're certainly stout. You know, I mean, one could take a look at some of the vintage road going stuff and, you know, some of that stuff, depending on the vintage. But you're talking about, you know, Ferrari 512 with a flat 12 in the back. And, you know, these are cars that take a lot of tending to, and you make contact with anything, they're just going to go like a Fabergé egg. But the vintage stuff has clearance, travel, you know, plates, you know, skid guards, and, you know, they're kind of meant to be thrown around and beaten up
I think,
a little bit.
David, I think you should take the convention center next year, cover the entire roof in dirt, and start doing a vintage rally race up on the roof.
I love it. Yeah,
because I don't know where else we're going to do it.
Yeah, we got to figure out how to reinvent, you know, the space that we have. So I like that idea. Well, let me talk.
I mean, maybe off site, like at the Coliseum. Didn't they have like X Games stuff there? Didn't they fill that with dirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, they not only would do stuff at the Coliseum, and they do stuff in Orange County for X Games too, but way back in the day, in the 70s and into the 80s probably, the Coliseum would hold the Super Bowl of motocross.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do a whole, you know, 250, two-stroke, you know, the scene back in the day when, you know, mid-70s, late-70s, Roger DeCoster, you know, motocross was like a big thing. And they would do that entire event at the in the Coliseum. So this thing goes back 50 years.
Yeah, NASCAR's over there with their clash at the Coliseum early next year. They're coming into the LA Auto Show to talk about that. And I think you're right. I mean, we look at it as what can LA Auto Show at the convention center growing into something like an LA Auto Show week. And maybe there are events at different venues around the city that happen as part of the LA Auto Show experience, but not necessarily right at LA.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's definitely precedent for it as we talk about what SEMA's doing. You know, now Goodwood franchising to Miami, you know, F1 popping up everywhere. You know, there's definitely precedent for taking an event and then expanding it out beyond the event, such as, you know, the Car Week at Monterey. I mean, there's got to be 28 separate events, not to mention all the dinners and all the award shows and all the everythings. But
yeah,
there's just 1,000 events that pop up around what started off as an event. And that seems to be the new world order. And I would assume LA Auto Show would be following in that direction.
Yeah, we definitely think about it a lot. And what does that look like? You mentioned, you know, where's Audi or where's maybe BMW or Mercedes? And, you know, if their strategies have changed over the last few years about how they want to reach consumers, we want to play in that space. And if it's a satellite event or if it's an event at a different time during the year, you're absolutely right. We've got to evolve as along with the automakers.
What's the show floor going to look like for you guys this year? I would imagine that Southern California, being probably a very popular area, if not the most popular area for EVs, I would expect to see the EVs that we know, but all the startup EVs. You mentioned VinFast. I expect Mullen, mm-hmm. Fisker, you know, I don't know, Rivian, Lucid, like all the startup EVs are probably going to have a pretty big presence.
Yeah, it seems to sort of bounce from year to year. Last year, Fisker, you know, was one of the big talk of the town at the show. Mullen was there. They're both taking a year off this year. You know, we're excited to talk to them about some plans they have for 2023. But we have Indy EV, which is an LA-based company coming in and getting in front of everybody. Charge Cars is coming in. Hyperion is in a main mm-hmm. hall, which is a pretty forward-leading vehicle. So, it's cool. Every year we seem to get new automakers, often California-based, looking to make their mark, and they'll usually take a spot in like an atrium or a lobby and, you know, move their way up to hopefully one day having a big exhibit in the main hall.
Well, thank you for joining us today, David. LA Auto Show, and you can get tickets and learn more at laautoshow.com. It's going on basically now through the 27th at the LA Convention Center, and bring the kids.
It's a cool show. I'll be there.
But tell the kids not to get too close to the cars and stand back a little bit.
Don't wear blue jeans and sit in all the cars with white interior.
Yes.
You screw up those interiors.
Yes.
After hundreds of people going in and out and swiveling on and off, don't wear blue jeans and get in the cream color interior. First of all, don't bring a cream color interior car to the auto show, but also don't wear blue jeans if you're going to do that.
Agreed. David Fortin, thanks for joining
us. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. We'll see you soon.
All right, let me tell you about BetterHelp. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. There's no user manual for life when things aren't working? Well, it's normal to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause and learn productive coping skills. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists, convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere, 100% online. Therapy is important, especially over the last couple of years. You got to get your mind right. When you get your mind right, the rest will follow. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, well, it's easy to switch to a new therapist anytime. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless search for the right therapist. It's BetterHelp, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month of BetterHelp.com/CarCast. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CarCast.
All right, so let's see. There's some...
Well, there's quite a bit in the new car world as we anticipate, you know, at the LA Auto Show. I'm not exactly sure how many of these things we're going to be able to see, but electric car world, there's been some news. First of all, the Rimac Nevera. This is the Rimac supercar, the all electric car, 1900 plus horsepower. They just set a record for the fastest electric car, which is interesting because this is a top speed run. And we always talked about how do they do it? Is it multiple gears? 258 miles an hour.
Wow.
They just ran this car. And they put together a nice little like 2-minute video that you can see of the thing.
Where'd they run it?
The test track was, was it in Germany?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Germany.
Germany. It was a big oval, and the straightaways on each side are 2.5 miles long.
Wow!
So it's a big track, but very, very cool to see what they're doing with that car because it sounds sick. Like when you were winding out that much, it's going to be pretty crazy to see that. The other thing that it's 1,914 horsepower, by the way.
Is it? Yeah, it must be gearing. They must be doing stuff with gearing. Unbelievable. Yeah, well, we're here. We're talking about Fisker. I was talking to my physical therapist when I was working on my hand, and she was telling me her dad bought a Fisker. Is it called an Ocean or Pacific?
The new one, I think, is the Fisker Ocean.
Ocean, yeah, right.
The SUV. We saw one in Monterey.
She said he went and ordered the whole thing up, and it's supposed to be coming soon, but I don't think I've seen any on the road yet.
No, they just announced, I think, this past week that they're starting to build them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've got some of the prototypes, but building the customer car. So hopefully in the next few months, they'll start to get deliveries. I'm super curious on getting into that car. I know it's supposed to be like a $35,000 or $40,000 SUV, and the launch editions or whatever that he's doing are all fancy, and they're $60,000+. But I am curious to see how that's going to be. It definitely presented well at the LA Auto Show last year. Mm-hmm. It's got a good look to it. You know, we saw some prototypes. I noticed a little bit of fit and finish issues, but also they didn't go off and build the factory on their own to build these cars. They teamed up with Magna that builds cars for other people. I think they do the G-Wagon for Mercedes. Mm-hmm. So this is a company that has quite a bit of experience on building vehicles already. They don't have to start from the ground up. His thought process was, at least initially, let's outsource it. Let's run the company from a design and marketing and you know, financial aspect, mm-hmm. and try to outsource this whole thing for now. And I think that's probably a pretty good idea. So I'm curious to see that.
It's going to be – it's kind of an interesting renaissance because all of these automotive, you know, legacy automotive manufacturers, Toyota and Nissan and even GM had a Van Nuys plant, and the list goes on and on. They've all been chased out of California. But now there's all of these – new electric car startups that are forming in California.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the competition is just sort of a tide that raises all the boats. You know, if you think about it, in just the next 2 years, your your opportunities to get an electric car, an electric truck, there's going to be 40 offerings. And they're all, I mean, look, there's a bottom line. You're going to have to outdo the next guy in range. You're going to have to outdo the next guy in price point. You're going to have to outdo the next guy in, you know,
in performance
and interior and things like that. And so, you know, there's going to be a $35,000 offering, and there's going to be a $55,000 offering, and there's going to be a $110,000 offering, and there's going to be a $180,000 offering, but they're all going to be competing against one another for your dollar. Yeah. And there's going to be some good stuff out there.
Well, for sure. Porsche has been leaking some information about their Porsche Macan. Mm-hmm. EV. It's going to be all-wheel drive, just over 600 horsepower. I don't know what the range is going to be on it, but it's going to have that Porsche DNA. It's going to be a hell of a performer. Right now, the gas engine version is like, I don't know, 430 or 450 horsepower at the top of the range.
Yeah,
and Lucid.
Yeah. So if you take a look at the progression of the electric car. Performance, whether it's at the high end or the economy end of the electric car, is no longer an issue because it's past the internal combustion version of itself.
Yeah. I mean, you're adding the weight, but the amount of power and torque and grip you can get, I mean, is
if you go by 0 to 60, they've now surpassed.
It'll smoke everything out there.
The 32,000 electric car will probably smoke its competitors that have an internal fuel combustion engine in them, 0 to 60. So the performance part is there. The range, I don't know what the average range on the internal combustion vehicle sold. I would imagine it's the higher threes, mid or higher threes, low fours.
Yeah.
Probably, 378 or something like that. So the performance is there. The price is about there. And then the range, with the base being more than the 250 range, but going up to maybe 350 or 400, we're just a little bit off of that. And so at some point, the performance will eclipse the internal combustion version of that car. Mm-hmm. The range will catch up, which is close to it. And the price point will be in the same neighborhood. And at that point, I don't know who's going with the gas.
There's going to be a lot of focus on weight and aerodynamics, how to cut weight and improve aerodynamics, because the batteries and these electric motors, there's so much. Like, my F-150 Lightning is 1,000 pounds heavier than its gas engine equivalent.
Right.
And it's fast, but, what is that doing to tires and to the road? And, so there's going to be a little bit of that, especially when you get into the performance vehicles like the Porsche Macans of the world. Mm-hmm. Is how do you get that thing to handle, with Porsche DNA? How do you get it to really fly around a road course or something?
Yeah.
But as far as just pure luxury and what's going on and range, Lucid is a very interesting EV car, a big sedan. We started to see quite a few of them at the Velocity Invitational. We saw them in Monterey. Mm-hmm. They've been on the track. The one we saw was that crazy Lucid Sapphire. It was like $250,000. It was like the fastest one they make. It was at the Velocity Invitational. It was like all blacked out. It was like one of their ride-around cars.
Right.
They announced an SUV called Gravity, and it's really kind of cool looking, and it's a good size, 7-passenger, 3-row SUV. And now they've got the room to fit the big batteries, the big motors in it. So they said expect everything that is the Lucid plan, which is 400-plus mile range, 1,000 horsepower, fast, roomy, comfortable. I mean, it'll weigh as much as the Hummer or something or my truck, but a nice, good size, all-electric SUV.
I think the Hummer is 10,000 pounds.
Yeah, the Hummer is ridiculous.
But it can do the crab walk.
It can do the crab walk.
I guess the next question is, and I don't think we're going to settle it here, but at some point there's going to be a battery update from a technological standpoint. So when I used to fly model airplanes, at the very beginning, talking about 20 years ago, maybe 20 years plus, I had an electric ducted fan, crash it all the time. But the battery was a brick. It was literally a brick. It was equivalent of six C-cell batteries daisy chained and then put in shrink wrap. And when you picked it up,
it's heavy. It's the heaviest thing on that plane, right? The plane weighs nothing.
It felt like you were lifting a can of beans. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it had some heft. And you're like, yeah, the plane's made of styrofoam. It doesn't weigh anything, but it's got to tote this battery. And then at some point, they came up with the lithium ion or whatever they came up with. Yeah. But all of a sudden, a miniature battery hit the scene. And now you can fly. You know, if you're going to go, you and your kid were going to go out and get into the hobby, you would start with an electric plane now. And so it went from this weight and this heft to this. And as far as the automotive battery, you know, it's really hard to get around weight. You talk about tire wear, you talk about stopping distance, you talk about handling, and it's all in the batteries. So you're not going to really mess with the componentry of the car because that just sort of is what it is, panels and
suspension, brakes.
Right. That is what it is. It's always been. When is that battery move? What is that next battery? Because is when the C's part for the electric car.
Potentially two steps in that process. One would be, how do we make our current battery technology more efficient so we can put smaller batteries in the cars? That would be one step. Or get more range from the same size battery for the types of vehicles where the performance is less of a factor. But then what is going to be the future of battery technology beyond the lithium ion batteries that we have now? And it's complicated. If you go back to some of our SEMA coverage, I spoke with Cam Douglas from Optima Batteries, and he was talking about the new lithium ion line of batteries that they have instead of the AGM batteries that they've typically done, which are good batteries but still heavy. You know, but you can mount them upside down. There's no liquid in them. You can mount them wherever. The lithium batteries, he said each battery needs to have built into it a brain. It has to have a little computer because when you plug the battery up into your vehicle, and they haven't even done full-size vehicles yet. They first launching with power sports, motorcycles, ATVs, things like they're smaller batteries. Mm-hmm. They are lighter, but there's also temperature sensors. So just when you hook the positive and negative up to the battery, there's another wire. And a lot of modern new cars have this as well. There's a temperature sensor on there, right? And it regulates the battery temperature and prevents failure, or at least tries to make it safer. But that's what we have to do as we, you know, come up with more things like that as battery technology advances. It was a very interesting conversation just to geek out about battery technology with that guy, a guy who makes batteries.
All right. Well, a slightly shorter version of the show based on Phil getting loose and trekking through the neighborhood.
Damn, but you found him.
I did, but it was the second pass. I went out, scoured the neighborhood, and then came back and thought maybe he came back to the house. But
good thing he runs every time you call him.
I don't call him. I yell treat.
There you go.
You want to get Phil's attention, don't use his name.
Yeah.
Use the word treat. All right. I want to thank Plugs Chris, David Fortin for coming here, zooming in with us. And again, a Los Angeles Auto Show that you go to laautoshow.com for tickets. Tucson Rialto Theater, December 15th. You can find me there doing stand-up. And then I'll head to the Tempe Improv December 16th and 17th doing four shows there, and just go to adamcroll.com for all the live shows. What do you got, man?
I'm going to run over to the LA Auto Show soon, so I'm going to grab some photos, put it up on our social media. Let me know what you want to see.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for David Fortin and Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.